Welcome to the Context Machine. This is episode number 619, and I am not Brian Chaffin. I'm Jeff Gamet. Brian is out this week, and so I'm running the show all by myself, as it should be, because we all know that I'm really the person that makes all of this stuff come together, and Brian is here just because he's so beautiful, and that's totally fair. But to take care of the beauty part, since Brian's not here today, I asked on a special guest, Patrice Brendamore from the Foodie Flashback podcast, and a bunch of other shows that we end up doing together. Patrice, how are you?
I'm doing really, really well. Thanks for having me. And I mean, as much as I'm sad that Brian can't be here, because I really enjoy your show, I'm also very happy that I get the chance to do that. And I mean, while I can't be the grumpy old man that he usually is, like, and I say that very lovingly, because like, I love that. I mean, I'm going to try to channel a little bit my inner German, but I'm neither of that. Like, I'm not grumpy, I'm not old, and I'm not a dude. So yeah, I'll try. Like I said, I'll try to scan this, like, channel my German a little bit, and maybe then I'll be a little bit more grumpy.
You know,
if not, you'll have to do with what I can do.
It's
I'll
okay.
Bring the beauty. So
there we go. That's what really matters. Yep.
Yeah.
Hey, just so everyone knows, the other part that I usually say, you know, hey, go check us out on contextmachine.io, and we're on Mastodon and Post, and Facebook page, all the usual stuff. You can just go to the mm-hmm. website and find all of that, and we'd love to hear from you. Also, I'm super excited that HelloFresh is our sponsor this week.
And awesome company. I love them.
It's why many weeks I don't go hungry. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Same.
So we'll talk about that soon. But this week was Apple's Worldwide Developer Conference, and everyone's talking about it. And so I was thinking, hey, you know, it's kind of a obligation sort of thing. Hey. We should probably talk about it too.
Hey.
But
well.
instead of doing all of the regular laundry list stuff that everyone's talking about, I thought it would be great to hit a couple things that are really standing out to us, and Patrice, you came up with a great idea mm-hmm. as well for what we could talk about. So let's start first with the thing that I thought would be a good thing to hit, which are features that Apple is adding in to iOS that I'm looking at as the sort of personal protection and mm-hmm. And security features that I think are going to be really helpful to marginalized groups, women, the LGBTQ community, the large part of the world population that's not middle-aged white guys.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the features where you can share your location with your friends.
Yeah, that's a really cool feature. I have to be honest. I mean, I have a WhatsApp group with my girlfriends, and we, like, whenever we're meeting up somewhere and then we're going our separate ways and going home, we always like check in when we're at home and simply say, yeah, I'm safely home, and like everything is fine. And every time like we do that. And I mean, it is super important, for us. So it gives us a little bit of safety that like everybody made it home and nothing happened in between. And I think that feature, I'm blanking on what it's called now. Is it called check-in? I think it's called check-in.
I think it's called check-in. But yeah, keep in mind, this is the show where Brian and I don't prepare. So I didn't bother to bring up the webpage on Apple's site with the features.
And I mean, not as if we've just done two other shows where we talked about that and should have remembered, right?
And like, multiple shows earlier in the week. Yes.
Yeah. No. No, I think it's called Check-In. And it's, I mean, it is really, really cool because it, I mean, it is for like the groups that you mentioned, like women do that all the time, any like marginalized group and like LGBTQ, mm-hmm. all of it. But there's other cases where even like people like you or like even, yeah, I mean, Brian or whatever could, like, it could be useful. Like I was thinking about, like, I don't know, you're meeting up for a show, for example, of some sort, like comedy show or something. Maybe it's a bigger event or like a concert or something. Mm-hmm. You could use that to basically say, hey, I have arrived at the venue. Just put it there and say, I'll be there in whatever half an hour. And if you get lost somewhere or you're late or whatever, I mean, you basically let the other people know automatically. And I think that's also quite a nice idea. I mean, sure, the safety feature is probably the primary reason for this existing. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very clear that within Apple, there's like an influential group of people who like can propose and get those features implemented. And there's someone, I guess, higher up that like supports that, because otherwise it would never happen.
Mm-hmm.
Which is great. I mean, a lot of women, a lot of LGBTQ. I know that from Apple. Like, there's some really awesome people there. There's a lot of awesome people there. I really like that. Like, and now I have to get my girlfriends to switch to an iPhone, which might not be as hard as I think. So we'll see.
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking that with these features. And, well, and the other one that to me goes hand in hand, the one where if you get images mm-hmm. in messages or other apps, if there's nudity in those images, it'll automatically be hidden. And then mm-hmm. you have the option of saying, yeah, go ahead and show me the image or not.
I mean, that's probably mostly for women, but I could probably also see it for other people. Like the unsolicited pictures that you get, like that you didn't ask for and you just get from random person. And I don't know, you're on a dating app and like, I mean, a lot of dating apps nowadays actually have filters like that for that very reason. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, you switch off the dating app because now you're kind of maybe a little bit familiar with the other person and you're like, okay, it's fine. You can have my number. And then you're not as protected. So this is good. And this is not just for messages. This is across the platform. So mm-hmm. anywhere like AirDrop, iCloud, messages, third-party apps will get this as an API and can implement it. Anywhere there is content that could be checked on device. Like, that's the important part. It's never leaving, like, or being scanned somewhere in, like, iCloud data center, whatever. It's on device. You get that protection. And I think that's super important.
I agree. To go along with the on-device part, if you're getting unsolicited photos through the Messages app, mm-hmm. and Apple is checking those images off device, that means that they've had to compromise the end-to-end encryption.
Yes.
So that they can actually see the contents mm-hmm. of your messages. And that's not something Apple's going to do.
No. Well, I mean, there was a discussion last year, I think, was it last year or 2 years ago, about CSAM?
Yes.
And there it would have sent stuff off device eventually, like if it was a hit or a potential hit, it would have sent it off. But
that would be after it checked on device.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But even then, like, people were concerned about that, and I think understandably so.
Sure. I would have been concerned too. Not that I have this deluge of nude pics coming into my phone all the time. And I'm going to stick to that story, but no, seriously.
Well, Jeff. Like, I mean, and to be fair, there is like for nudity, there is legitimate things that you can do between two consenting people or multiple, even, like, it's totally fine. Like, mm-hmm. and this doesn't prevent that. It just puts a content warning, like what we have content warnings on Mastodon and some other platforms. It's kind of that. Like, it just puts a stop in between and says, like, if you don't want to see this, it's like this might not be what you want to see, kind of.
Right. Yeah, it goes back to the whole consent. Mm-hmm. And if everyone involved in, say, a text message group is sharing photos, mm-hmm. that are revealing nudes, whatever, and mm-hmm. they're all consenting in that group, there's nothing wrong with that. Having something that's popping up and saying, hey, this photo has nudity, or do you want to look at it right now? Mm-hmm. I'm totally fine with that because it's not preventing you from getting content you want, but it is putting up a barrier from using content that you don't want.
Yeah,
or at least exactly. You don't want to look at right now, which is something you brought up on mm-hmm. In Touch with iOS, Dave Ginsberg's show, about maybe it's in context or you're at mm-hmm. work and you don't want other people seeing these images.
Yes.
So you can just leave that block screen mm-hmm. up until you leave work.
Yeah, I don't know. You shared a photo with your partner and, like, I don't know, you're at work and your partner sends you a text message and you're sitting with your colleagues at, like, I don't know, at lunch, for example. You might not want that photo to show up. Like,
right. Well, I mean, it's your privacy, but also the privacy of the person that's sharing mm-hmm. it.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, that totally makes sense. And, like, nudity, the definition of nudity from Apple was quite interesting. I'm trying to remember how they phrased it exactly, but it was basically anything that would usually be covered by a bathing suit or some kind of clothing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So. And to me, that seems like the best, guideline mm-hmm. for deciding when the content is going to be hidden.
Yeah, I think so. I think it might have been bikini instead of bathing suits, just when I'm thinking of it. But, like, you get the idea. Like, that's kind of the principle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Those are really, really good features. And Apple has been doing, I mean, that's the other part. Apple has been doing that for many years. Like, step by step, they started introducing features like that so that people can feel safer and can be safe. And, like, location sharing is another one. I mean, it's not just the check-in that we mentioned. It's like in general location sharing you can do. You could do that if you were friends, but I think not, like, individually.
Like,
find my app, yeah. I think you could. Yeah. So I said, like, there's a lot of, like, really interesting features that that they introduced.
Yep. And I've said this other places, but I'll say it again here. This tells me that there are women on the developer teams who have a voice and can say, hey, this is a problem and we need to mm-hmm. do something about it. And everyone else is listening because they're doing yes. something about it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's not just... Yeah, it's not just that they're like, oh yeah, a nice feature, we'll do it. No, like, they're really also thinking about that and really mm-hmm. doing something about it.
Yep. So, yeah, I'm pretty happy that these features are showing up. And mm-hmm. I know for a lot of people, they're not the big flashy features that get a lot of discussion.
Mm-hmm.
But these are the features that, to me, are, like, really important, because these are the kind of features that may not be flashy and bells and whistles kind of stuff, but they can have a profound impact on people's lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. By the way, I checked the phrasing. So it says on the screenshot from Apple, it says, naked photos and videos show the private body parts that are usually covered by underwear or bathing suits. So that's what they...
Okay.
Phrased it. Makes sense, right? It's quite a sensible definition.
Yep. I'm good with that definition. Yep.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking this is, like, a perfect time to tell everyone about HelloFresh.
Oh, yes.
Yes. So here's the deal. HelloFresh, what they do is let you pick a menu for the week, or mm-hmm. they can just, like, say, here's a great idea and we'll just send this stuff to you. And then you get a box in the mail that has all these fresh ingredients, and then the recipes so that you can make the meals yourself. And you chop up all the vegetables and the meat and mm-hmm. follow the steps. And then you have these amazing dinners or lunches. Yeah, it's really great.
It's awesome. I mean, I'm a big fan. I mentioned it in the pre-show. This is a German company. Like, I don't know if people know that because, like I mean, they're in, I think, a lot of countries in the world by now. But they originally started in Berlin, Germany. And they've been around for quite a while, and I've been a fan of them for quite a while. And it's for people like me. I mean, I love cooking. I really enjoy cooking. I have a foodie flashback.
Right.
Like, I really enjoy cooking. But the process of picking out what I want to cook and then buying the ingredients and then like you buy something where you need like a certain amount from, like, I don't know, you need a tablespoon or a teaspoon or something, and you have to buy an entire jar, and then you have the jar in your fridge and you never use it for anything. I mean, we've all been there. That's something I really, really enjoy about HelloFresh. That, I mean, other than like some basics like salt, pepper and oil, I think usually, and maybe vinegar.
Right.
Like some basics that you usually would have at home, or that they expect you to have at home. They basically send you everything like pre-packaged and also plenty of. Like, I mean, it's like I made some like really nice pasta today with a friend. She came over and we had so much food like for two people. It was more than enough. We were really full and we were hungry when we started out. So it was really
not good. When you were done.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I mean it's so easy, and I mean they like you can decide, like, I mean they like you pick when you set it up, you pick and say this is kind of what I'm looking for, like, I don't know, I want like I'm vegan, vegetarian, or I want like easy things or like whatever. There's like a bunch of options, and then either you just let them send you stuff, like you never look at it again, and they just every week it shows up.
You get surprises every week. Yeah, it's like farm to table, high quality. Just take it out of the box, and it's mm-hmm. like the best stuff that you would want to pick from the grocery store, and it's mm-hmm. just right there at your house. Now that we're coming into summer, it's great to be able to spend less time having to mm-hmm. do all the meal planning and meal prepping. Because they're sending you everything pre-proportioned. You've got the recipe. You're not having to do extra planning. You don't have to spend all the extra time at the grocery store to find the right things. Maybe go to multiple stores. It's just right there, ready for you. So it's awesome. All right. So here's the deal, everyone. What you need to do is go to HelloFresh.com/TCM16 and then use the code TCM16 for 16 free meals, plus you get free shipping. Nice. So that's go over to HelloFresh.com/TCM16. So that means the context machine 16. And when you look at it, totally makes sense because you're getting 16 free meals plus free shipping. HelloFresh.com/TCM16, just to make sure you got that written down.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's a couple of weeks. Like, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. So thank you, HelloFresh, for being our sponsor this week. Patrice, the second topic, this was your idea, and I absolutely love it. The whole thing with Vision Pro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The idea I had was, I mean, everybody is talking about Vision Pro and like the device that was introduced and what it is and like the experience they've had with it, and it all sounds awesome. But I was thinking about it more from a historical context.
And that's why I loved this idea.
Yeah. It's like my feeling is that we will, I mean, time will tell, but I think we will look back at this and see this as a pretty big milestone. And not for what this first version is, but for where it's going mm-hmm. and where it came from. And that was super interesting to me because I looked back at what Apple has done over the last couple of years. And there's so many little bits and pieces that now kind of like come together in this awesome device. I mean, it's an amazing feat of engineering if you look at it. Like the M series, the Apple Silicon chips. I have a feeling that Apple introduced them or started developing them for this device. Oh, I think the Mac and the iPad are just, I mean, they were like, oh, might as well do that, right? I mean, we have the Mac and we have the iPad and we can do something awesome with that and can have like a whole ecosystem of devices. But I think the whole reason why they took it from the iPhone where it started, the iPhone and the iPad, to be fair, to like this whole new level is this device. I mean, and this has been in development for probably 10 years. I would like in the future at some point we will hear the story how this was developed. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure this started 10 years ago. Or close to it, at least.
That wouldn't surprise me. I mean, when they showed off the technology that's in this headset, and to be clear, we're not talking about a VR headset like an Oculus or anything like that. This is like a computer, this is a computer that Apple figured out how to pack into a display that straps to your face.
Yeah, pretty much. This is, call it spatial computing. That's it.
Right.
Like, it is a computer. And that's the thing that people misunderstand when they say, oh, it's so expensive and all of that. Well, it is kind of. The first version is. But it is a full computer on your face. I mean, minus the cable, basically, or the external battery, if you want one. Mm-hmm. I think they couldn't figure out how to make that work because it's heavy.
Right.
Heavy, well, I mean, and also
the bonus with that is that if... Or since it uses that cable, if you're using this in an environment where you need to have more than the 2 hours battery life you get from the battery pack, you can have a constant power source. Just plug into that instead.
Yeah. Or have multiple battery packs. There's ways. And I mean, we know this is version one. I mean, remember the Apple Watch? It was terrible. Like the battery life on the first version, it couldn't do anything really. Very little. And the battery life was still terrible. That was the first version. And then, like, I mean, where we are today, where, I mean, it's like, I have so much battery life, I don't even know what to do with it anymore. So it's, yeah. But that's just one part. I mean, there's the M1 chip. Then there is the whole, I mean, I think the obvious things, like AR kit, all of that. I posted a video the other day from WWDC 2019, where they were playing... Like, they had adapted DC for years. They had, like, a game area where they would do AR games.
Mm-hmm.
And with, like, iPads and iPhones and so on, because, yeah, that was the thing. That was so clearly getting the technology ready with real customers and real data and real product. I mean, to some extent, they were never all that great. I mean, I think the Measure app from Apple was probably the closest to, like, a real-world product that I ever saw. There were some like really cool demos and like the whole IKEA thing and so on.
Right.
But none of that made a lot of sense in the way they did it.
It makes sense now. Yeah. So at the time, they were seeing how we use this stuff. They were collecting data and using that to refine the Vision Pro.
Yeah, I mean, the whole LiDAR that they introduced, I think, was it first the iPad and then the iPhone or the other way around? I don't remember.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I mean, all of that, like, it was getting all the bits and pieces tested and working and like, evolving them in the real world over time and working with, like, a lot of developers and companies on it. So that, I mean, very clearly that is a part. There is like a lot of things on the operating system level. I mean, I think Stage Manager, while it is a iPad feature, I think they developed that for the Vision Pro. And they were like, we should probably have the apps ready. So let's roll this out to developers and have them use it and have windows and scenes and all of the bits and pieces in place. And then when we introduce Vision Pro and Vision OS, basically, we can take iPad apps and run them. And that's exactly what they're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and there's so much where I'm like, this all makes sense now. Like, as I said, ARKit made very little sense for me, because it was like, yeah, I mean, it's nice. You can hold your iPhone and run around. And it was like, I mean, there was one game basically that like the Pokemon Go game that used. Mm-hmm. I think that was it.
Yeah, yeah, that was the big thing. Well, that was the only real game I was playing, but still is.
Oh, it's still going. Yeah, but it's probably one of the only things, as I said, other than the Measure app and some other bits and pieces. I mean, there's some accessibility stuff, for example. The whole, like, what is it called? The door detection, I think, and accessibility.
Oh, yes.
And now the button detection and so on. While those are awesome things for accessibility reasons, they're also awesome things for a Vision Pro. Right, you have to detect where is a wall, where is a door, where is a window, all of that, so you can interact with it properly.
And so you don't walk into the wall.
Exactly. Or the whole spatial audio and the audio processing that the HomePods are doing. Like, mm-hmm. That was the early version of it. And now we have it in the Vision Pro, like that they try to do real, and it's super important actually, I've heard, to do the realistic audio. Like you can move around and the audio will come from the right place. I mean, that's spatial audio basically.
But
it has to be perfect because like if it's like, I don't know, your headphones and the iPad is on table or whatever. If it's not perfect, like, who cares? Like, no, most people, it will not matter for you. But if you're in an AR/VR world, all of a sudden, it becomes more and more important. Because the problem with that is if your senses don't align, then you get confused. And you get motion sickness, you get a lot of things. Like, so every bit that doesn't fit makes it harder for people to use it. So audio that's misaligned, that's coming from the wrong side or isn't coming from like from where you expect it, is already disorienting a little bit.
Right. So, okay. So what Apple's been doing over the past several years is testing all the components mm-hmm. that make up Vision Pro.
Yeah.
But they've been testing it through all these other products they're already selling us.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I was just thinking, like, how they tested all the sensors that they introduced. I mean, there was the accessibility thing with, like, I think the Apple Watch and the hand gestures that they did, like, a couple of years ago, I think two years ago, maybe. So that was one bit. I think a lot of the sensor things, I mean, for sure, Face ID is doing some of that, like real-time processing of your face and so on and deciding whether you're you. That's probably one. Mm-hmm. Face detection in photos, stuff like, I mean, just people detection and so on in photos. Super important. Like, I mean, we saw in the video that where a person comes in and all of a sudden it switches to, like, you can see the person, even if you're in VR mode, basically.
Right. I'm so it identifies when a person is there. It knows what a person is.
Yeah. And it's trying to interact with you. It's not just a person working, maybe, at the periphery, like they're coming to you, looking at you, and they're like, oh, this person probably wants to talk to you. Stuff like that. And I mean, your phone camera does that. Like when you're taking a photo, it looks like, okay, oh, this person is smiling, or this is a person, and I should focus on that and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What was it called? The object, you know, where it separates the object from the background, like the person from the background. It's called occlusion, I think.
Sure, let's go with that.
Let's go with that. Yeah, I mean that is a bit that you need for for Vision Pro. There's so much, and as I said, some of the decisions that were kind of interesting, and you're like, oh yeah, okay, maybe it's something they're just interested in, or someone there was a champion for it, and internally, and they're like, yeah, okay, let's do it. Now that makes sense.
No, it don't. Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Patrice, one of the things that you mentioned was an interest in where you see this going.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that.
I've been very bullish about AR, VR. Once I started really seriously thinking about it. I mean, originally when it was introduced, like, I mean, we've had VR since forever, basically. I think in the 90s, there were some VR headsets and they were all terrible. I did like one, like, maybe 10, 15 years ago, I did like one at some event somewhere, and I was like, yeah, okay, it's kind of like, it looks like Windows 95. It's like, not great.
Mm-hmm.
And it evolved. And it evolved also because of machine learning and AI and all of that. Like, that's a big part of that. That's something Apple hasn't talked too much about it, but quite a few things that they do are like AI parts somehow. Like, if it's ML, if it's generative, if it's like whatever, like there's a lot. And I started thinking about that. Like, what does this, basically, I think it's something Horace Dedieu said at some point, that every revolution, every innovation has some component of basically changing the game completely from what was before and what is after, and coming with a new way of approaching things and new input or new process or something. And I think that's what we're seeing. I started really thinking about like movies, entertainment, like all of, like how all of that will change over time. I mean, not next year, not even probably the next 5 years. Well, we'll see. But over time, I think we will see a pretty significant difference between before and after. Kind of like what we saw with, I mean, when like TV went to streaming to some extent. That was a big, mm-hmm. big shift in the TV industry, or movie, like in the entertainment industry in general. Like when stuff went when it went from you have to go to a movie theater to watch the news, to hey, you have a TV at home, and you can watch mm-hmm. two or three channels, to hey, you can just go on the internet and just get everything you want.
Hey, just pull your phone out of your pocket and watch it all.
Exactly. And I have a feeling that this new technology, it will take time and it will not happen immediately. But I think it will have a profound impact on how stories are told and how we consume. Because, and Apple showed a little bit of that, because entertainment was a part of what they showed.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, why? Like, why would I buy a box to put it on a wall or put it on a table or something that has a fixed size and is fixed in place, if I can be anywhere I want on and have any size of entertainment system I want? It can be small, it can be big, I can watch it alone, I can watch it with 100 people, 10,000 people, whatever. I mean, you could have an entire stadium of people sitting together and all of them have like a Vision Pro version of in 20 years. And there is no screen. But we're all experiencing together the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't need massive projection screens for that. All you need is that everybody has one of those headsets.
The thing that I'm seeing, excuse me, or what I'm visualizing, see what I did there, Vision Pro Visual. Anyhow, Apple's making it clear this is not a VR headset.
Mm-hmm.
This is very a computing true. Device. And what I'm expecting over time is that eventually when people are buying their new computer,
mm-hmm.
the right computer for them may not be a desktop or a laptop. It might be whatever the future of the Vision Pro is. And so they're buying a single device that's their computer and their entire home entertainment system,
mm-hmm.
which actually would cost less than getting all of that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And it's more flexible. I mean, you can, and Apple showed some of that. I think they have that idea. You can travel and take your, basically your work setup with you. Or your entertainment setup, whatever. I mean, is it the same thing? Kind of. It's not 100% the same. I mean, the really good speakers that someone bought for their, like, their living room, probably not that.
Yeah.
Like, I can see some areas where there might be a difference. But as I said, like, and then, like, if you start thinking about that a step further, and you're thinking, okay, now I have this whole new medium. I have AR and VR. I can do both. I mean, like I can do AR where stuff is in my like in my actual environment. And Apple showed that with I think the dinosaur that like there's a portal and the dinosaur comes out, mm-hmm. which is kind of the idea of 3D movies. They were just terrible and nobody wanted them.
Mm-hmm.
But and they were expensive and crappy and all of that. But like as I said, when you start thinking about that and you think a step further and you say, okay, what can creatives, what can filmmakers now do with this new power? And you go a step in the direction of a holodeck. We're very far away from that, probably. But I'm thinking that it will influence how we tell stories in this new medium quite significantly. Like, there will be a difference between how we do movies today and how we do movies in 20 years, probably, with this technology.
Well, the way we do movies today is different than the way we did movies mm-hmm. 20 years ago.
Yeah.
30 years
ago. I mean, always evolving, but I think you will be, I mean, as I said, as streaming and TVs and so on have influenced how we do things. I think this technology will, while it's in its infancy still, I think, will significantly change how stories are told. Because why would you sit there and have a flat picture in a window when you can actually interact with it or look at it from different perspectives? And I think sports might be a good area where that might be quite interesting. I think I've seen someone mentioned somewhere that there have been some very crazy special recordings of like some sports events. I think it was baseball. Where you could, I think even Apple did that, where you could basically sit in a dugout and like have a 3D experience of seeing the game.
Oh. Huh. All right. And well, that's kind of cool. Yeah. When we were talking on In Touch with iOS about some of this, mm-hmm. You brought up something that I thought was really interesting, which was that you felt that Vision Pro mm-hmm. is the indicator that the iPad is going to go away. And then I followed that up by saying, well, iPad apps will run on Vision Pro. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I was like, yep, you've convinced me.
Which is a crazy idea. I mean, this is clearly the house of crackpot theories now. It simply comes from the question, why has the iPad not evolved? I mean, it is something, I mean, introduced 13 years ago, I think. Yeah, 2010, right? So about 13 years ago. And, I mean, you can't say it hasn't evolved at all. It has, to some extent, with the iPad Pro and like, some input methods and so on. Like, it's not zero.
Mm-hmm.
But very clearly, something changed over time from this is the future of computing and this is going to replace the Mac. I think that was, I have a feeling that was originally the idea. To, we're doing some stuff there, but mostly it's catching up with the iPhone. And here and there, we might try something fun. Like some input method or some other crazy thing, like Stage Manager.
That, mm-hmm.
That's it. Very clearly seems to be for the Vision Pro.
The metaphor seems to work better there, at least based on mm-hmm. the demos that we've seen.
Yeah, which doesn't mean it isn't useful on the iPad. Like, it's not saying that dismissively. Like, it's still a good feature on the iPad now. I think Vitici said he was quite happy with it now, or more happy at least,
mm-hmm.
With the new things that they've done, where you can like have windows of different sizes and not fixed grids and all that. But as I said, like, very clearly, that's from the Vision Pro side, like where you have the full flexibility, and they were like, we can do that in the iPad too. As I said, I have a feeling, I mean, Apple is very clearly working on the future, the next generation, the thing that's going to replace eventually the iPhone, the iPad, and maybe also the Mac at some point. Mm-hmm. Because they know eventually if they don't do it, someone else will. And I think yes. Their idea, and we will see if that pans out. I mean, that's probably a very, very long horizon, like especially for the Mac. I think that's going to be a long way off. maybe never, like who knows. But I think for the iPad, there is a question of, okay, if you have the Vision Pro and it evolves over time. So as I said, I'm not saying next year or even in 5 years, but evolves over time. You can start to question whether the iPad has a lot of value, because I mean, you can, like, it's portable, like the Vision Pro will hopefully be. I mean, at least that's what they're saying. It's like everything, basically everything that, even today with what they announced, almost everything that the iPad can do, you can do with the Vision Pro already, including running the iPad apps.
Mm-hmm.
There's some limitations here and there. So like, it's not perfect, not 100%. But there is a question for me eventually, like, do we need an iPad if we have the Vision Pro? And maybe a Vision instead of a Vision Pro, like a more consumer grade level.
Well, I expect that Apple is doing with Vision Pro what they've done with the iPhone, with the iPod, where they start it at what they consider their high end for the product line.
Yeah.
And when they hit a certain saturation point, then they roll out a product that hits at a lower price point, and they keep working their way down the line.
And it's not just, I think it's not just about the price point and the saturation. It's also about the technology. This is the technology that they can build right now, where they think they have something that is worthwhile. They have something that is interesting. They have something that people will want. They can't do it at a cheaper price point currently. Not much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think we saw it with the iPhone. The technology wasn't there to do that. And then they moved down. Like, once the technology is matured and producing it is cheaper, and they maybe have a little bit older chips or lower power chips, and they still get the job done for most people, then they start moving down. And I think we're gonna see that with this product.
I think you're right. I think this also explains why we have not, and I believe will not, ever see a touchscreen Mac.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know a lot of people want that. I wouldn't say we will never, because maybe that is something where they simply relent at some point and say, well, okay, we're going to give up on the iPad, and we're just going to add the touchscreen to the Mac so that people are happy for the whatever few people that actually care. And that's it. And they basically kill the iPad, and the Mac gets the touchscreen, and the few people who were upset about that simply use the Mac.
Yeah. Will it be enough people to justify doing it?
That's a good question. That's a good, very good question.
And my guess is that from Apple's perspective, the answer will be no.
Mm-hmm.
That said, Brian has pointed out more than once that I will make a prediction, and in many cases, Apple will immediately pivot so that they do what I said they won't do.
Yeah. I mean, something we have to keep in mind is the development time for the Vision Pro is going to be, I would say, 5 to 10 years. To get it, I mean, to really get it to something that we all use every day and we don't think about it. It's basically like we're living in a world where reality and virtual reality are kind of mixed and we don't even think about it anymore.
And well, how many iterations of the iPhone did we go through before we could really say that? And
I would
I'm
say
feeling
the 4S was probably where it started. That's, I mean, 5 years in, right? About.
Yeah, about 5 years in.
Yeah.
And I'm with you. I was going to say around the 4.
Yeah. So maybe even the 5. The 4 is significant, but I think the 5 might have been where it really hit. So it may be, as I said, somewhere in the 5 to 10 year range. And I mean, there is a lot of time in between where they can do things, like where they say, okay, like, I mean, they've done it in the past where they introduced the iMac Pro and did it for a little while and then killed it again.
Mm-hmm.
So they could do that and say, okay, there's a touchscreen Mac. And yeah, it works because everything's anyway built on the Core OS. So like, we can just run that. And at some point, we'll just stop the iPad and the Mac gets everything. And there's one device for everybody, no confusion anymore. I think that's like they will sell it as a simplification, simply say, well, the Mac has a touchscreen, and now there's no confusion which one to get.
I can see that.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I just really feel like Vision Pro is going to be Apple's answer for touch mm-hmm. interface in the future, and it's not the Mac.
Yeah, I mean, but the same. I mean, we say that, and at the same time, Apple introduced Catalyst and said very clearly mm-hmm. this is a transition technology while they get Swift UI ready. And AppKit and UIKit is still around. Like, so Apple is not afraid. I mean, because they know how, like, they played a long game and they know how long development and adoption can take. So sometimes they might do something because it solves a problem now, mm-hmm. knowing that that will then also solve a problem later. Because then the iPad is gone, and then eventually the Mac can just, like, go away in the next, whatever, 30 years. Maybe. Or maybe never. Like, who knows? Maybe there's always, like, a 1% thing where, like, a desktop Mac or a Mac Pro or something is what you need. That's, and it just connects to your Vision Pro, like they've shown.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's as I said, it's like, I think this is, I mean, we'll see. This, I mean, if we could all predict the future, and like, I think we would be all very rich. We can't. But
so we're not rich. I mean,
no, unfortunately not. but I mean, I think you can tell, like, I'm very, very excited about what this means. Like I said, seeing all the blocks and everything, building blocks, everything coming together into this product and seeing how that is going to evolve. And I mean, there's probably things we don't see. There's 100% things we don't see that they have already thought of, like what version 2 and 3 and 4 will be.
Well, of course, they're already working down the road, multiple mm-hmm. versions later.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, they will. I think the important thing is they will learn. We saw it with the Apple Watch. The Apple Watch that they envisioned when they released it is not the Apple Watch we have today.
I agree.
Not 100%. Not 100%. Like, at its core, probably, but not everything.
Yeah, I think when the Apple Watch was released, Apple wasn't sure how we were going to use it. So in a sense, it was an experiment. Mm-hmm. And they adapted very quickly to what people were actually doing with the device. We've seen that to a different degree with the iPad and with the iPhone. And I expect that we will see that same adaptation happen with Vision Pro.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. I think some people mentioned that they had a feeling the Vision Pro announcement was kind of scattershot. It was like, oh, a little bit of that and work and all of this and VR and like. And I'm like, yeah, it's very clear. They have an idea, or they have maybe even three ideas. How this could evolve. But they're simply saying these are possibilities, how this mm-hmm. could be used and what we think might be interesting. And then people will simply pick and choose and say, well, no, work is the thing and entertainment is boring or vice versa. Or, hey, fitness is even more important than we have. You haven't even talked about it at all. And we'll see how the discussion that's happening right now even, that will to some extent shape it. It will not shape mm-hmm. the hardware as much because that's harder. No, at least not anytime soon.
Right.
But it will for sure shape the marketing and it will for sure shape the software.
Yep.
Marketing is easy. They can change that. Well, not from today to tomorrow, but they can like...
It's a fast change.
Yeah. The next year they can say, oh, like people really resonated with like this aspect of the announcement, and so this is what we're going to highlight. Software a little bit harder, but they can pivot still and change things, say, oh yeah, this doesn't seem to be super important, so let's focus on the other area a little bit more. They can do that still, but like in 2-3 years we'll see that.
Mm-hmm. I feel like this is a great place for us to just wrap up and mm-hmm. and just kind of go, kick back and chill a little bit. So, Patrice, thank you so much for joining me today and sitting in for Brian. And it turns out at no point were you grumpy, angry, or curmudgeonly.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what happened. I was just so excited about everything that I think I just forgot. See, I'm not very good German. I know that.
it's all good. Yeah. When Brian's back, then maybe I'll have him. I know what I'll do. I know how to push Brian's buttons, so I will push them extra hard to get a double dose of angry soapbox Brian happening.
That's gonna be so awesome! I'm looking forward.
It'll be epic. I'll wear safety goggles.
No, it was a lot of fun. I mean, I really wanted to talk about this whole like aspect of the Vision Pro, and like thank you for allowing me to do that.
Well, thank you for joining me and doing it. Patrice, tell people where they can find you, please.
Yeah, I'm kind of all over the place. So I'm on the British Tech Network twice a week with Jeff and some other lovely people from other podcasts you might know. So that's every Thursday at 7 p.m. UK time for The Big Show, where we talk about the non-Apple side of things like chip design and space tech and cars and games and Windows and Android and just everything. Super interesting. And we all bring new stories. And Fridays we talk about 4 p.m. UK time. If you want to listen to the live recording, show recording. We talk about the Apple side of things. And we're doing like keynote pokers and we're going to do a summer of fun. And next couple of weeks we are talking slowly through everything was announced. Like mm-hmm. we decided to take our time. And not rush through it in like an hour or five, but mm-hmm. do it very slowly, deliberately, and step by step. You can find like everything I'm doing, all the social media links, the podcast, the project, literally everything on my website, thepatrice.com. There's only one. And since Jeff mentioned it, Foodie Flashback is my interview podcast where I interview really interesting people. Maybe I should interview Brian. That would be super interesting at some point.
You should definitely interview Brian.
I will definitely do that. Interview really interesting people about their like food stories and memories and just everything that goes with that. And that's been a lot of fun. I've been a little bit procrastinating on like posting shows and recording new shows, but I'm like slowly getting back to that. So head over to foodieflashback.com to listen to that.
Awesome. Well, Patrice, thanks again for stepping in and being my partner on the show today. You absolutely rock. And thanks. Everyone, you know how often Brian totally screws up hitting the bumper for the end of the show? That's not going to happen. Well, and that's this week's show. Hey, thank you to Cashfly for providing our hosting. And thank you to HelloFresh for being our sponsor. Go to HelloFresh.com/TCM16. Use the discount code TCM16 to get 16 free meals plus free shipping. HelloFresh.com/TCM16. And hey, our bass is by Boom. Brian is not here, so he couldn't tell you that. You can find him on the socials as Geek Tales. You can find me on the socials as Jay Gamut. And you can find all this stuff too at contextmachine.io. Thanks again, everyone. And Patrice, thank you too. And watch, we're going to get the last bumper correct again.